Hello and welcome to Matt's Truck and Grep podcast. So today's episode is going to be something slightly different, a new sort of style as such of podcast. We're just going to give it a try and see what you think, and we'll wait for the feedback. Quite a few years ago, a friend of mine in discussion said to me, you should ban curtain ciders. And when he said this, I just thought, you're mad. What on earth are you talking about? And then he sort of started giving me his reasons. And I just started thinking, do you know what? It's actually kind of got a point, but still don't think you need to ban curtain ciders. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, actually, he's probably right, you know. And Jim always goes on about the Midland CB app. And I just brought this up into a conversation the other week. I can't remember what the context was. It might have been load security. And I just sort of said, you know, you should ban curtain ciders, make them illegal. To which we end up with well over an hour's worth of discussion. So I just thought, well, we'll try this on the podcast and we'll just see how it goes. So what I thought I'd do, rather than have too many of us, obviously, when I put this out there, Alex said, I'm mad. But I just thought, well, he's the man to speak to on one side, and the other would be Luke Power Hippersley, because he is in sort of agreement with me. So let's bring them in. So Eve and Alex, how are we?
I'm good, thank you, Matt. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. A bit bunged up, but I think it's just a bit hay fever, so I'm hoping that's going to clear up very soon.
Do you know, I think everybody is at the moment. You know, everybody's feeling tired and groggy. I don't know what it is.
I think just the heat.
I'm same. My daughter's at the same.
Yeah, there's been so much heat, isn't there? It's finally cooling down a bit, but yeah, it's not been a lot of fun.
It's coming back this week, isn't it? It's coming back.
Well, I'm on holiday at the end of the week, so that's all right. So I'll be on
holiday every day.
Oh, I do a bit of work. I can't really argue that too much, can I?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Luke, returning Luke, how are we, mate? All right?
Yeah, good, Matt. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good, mate. Very good. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this. We've all had a bit of a back and forth on the WhatsApp chats about it all and whatnot. Now, Alex, why would you say that I'm mad for wanting to ban? And I will point out to listeners, this is just a bit of light-hearted discussion about most of the pros and cons, well, more cons in my opinion, of a curtain cider, because I did actually message a friend of mine just to get a rough idea on some stats and whatnot, and he thought that I'd actually heard that curtain ciders were going to get banned, and he basically said his company would be stuffed if we didn't have them, which made me thinking even more on other little subjects and whatnot. So Alex, anyway, as I asked, why am I mad?
I don't want to go first.
Fair enough. All right, let's.
I will go first. We've got to think of why were they brought in the first place. They were brought in to get rid of open sheeting.
Or a tilt.
Do you know, that's what I feel. You know, like
they're the evolution of a tilt.
Yeah, or tilts as well. Yeah, Euro liners, you know. Yeah. So now you want to get away with get rid of Euro liners as well. So we've got to go back to tilts, open sheeting, and box trailers.
No, you don't have to go. You don't need a tilt. Just you can do everything in a box, a fridge, or a flatbed.
Right. Okay. So I do groupage. All my work is coming from Scandinavia, Denmark. Yeah. I'm subbed to a Danish company, you know, on dock work. So I'm with Euroliners all the time.
Yeah.
We do have box trailers. But I just think, so like, you'll get, like the other day I had a load of pallets of makeup on. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really say that. A load of pallets of cosmetics on, and then it had a lot of pipes on top of it.
Yeah.
So now I'm a bit in between. Does that go in a box trailer? Or does it go in a flat trailer? What does it do?
Well, as we know from speaking with Luke previously, you can get a box trailer that opens on the side.
Yeah, so, the Akeris.
Yeah, right. The Akeris. Now,
that's another thing. Right. Well, our company's got two Akeris. Right, yeah. Flip battles on fours to Finland.
Yeah.
And I picked it, it always comes into Tilbury. So I went to Tilbury, picked it up, took it, had a full load of steel on it. Right. Yeah. So gets to the steelworks and that where it was going to, turned it away straight away. Can't get it out, it's a crane through the roof. There was stuff then. Went back to Normanton. I don't know what they did with it then, but
yeah.
There's the first example, you know.
Well, steel. Yeah, but it could have been on a flatbed though, couldn't there?
That's it.
Steel.
Yeah.
And then that wouldn't have been an issue.
Because a curtain cider, in my opinion anyway, only benefits the customer and not the haulier or the driver. That's what I tend to think.
Well, how does it not benefit the driver?
Well,
because when it's pissing down with rain,
yeah,
right, and it's lashing down with rain in the middle of winter, and you're saying I've got to sheet this steel up. That ain't on my radar. I'm not so keen on that idea.
It's not much better when you got to still pull the roof backwards and forwards on a Euro liner, or you got to do the curtains, you're putting all the tilt boards in. You're still out there in the pissing down rain, getting absolutely soaked through.
Yeah, what I think as well, because it's never needed to be developed, you've got like tippers and like my eight-wheeler, you've got an automatic electric sheet. So you could have some sort of sheeting system that would just go front to back and drop it down fairly simply without too much of a weight penalty.
Steel, you'd still have your coil carrier trailers, wouldn't you?
That's it.
They use on steel. That's
yeah.
Pretty,
like, No. We had, no. They've gone. They've gone. We're box trailers or flats, Luke. We're gone. No, yeah. They're not there anymore. You can't move the goalposts to suit your argument.
the American model, then, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, really, well, my argument is I think there's no reason anything palletized, it can't be put in through the back doors and on loading bays. So what annoys me is the fact of, and I have this obviously when I'm having to try and book reloads and things like that, I've got fridges and I've got the carry, and there's absolutely, they just say that no, it has to be a curtain side trailer, has to be a curtain side. And a lot of these places, they won't even ask the question to find out, can it load in a box? And the amount of times I've turned up somewhere and you go, oh, it's on a bay anyway, so we could have loaded it in a box trailer or a fridge.
Yeah, I get that, yeah.
And sometimes you're staring down the barrel at the end of the week of going, right, there's a load there, but they're saying it must be a curtain side. They won't even ask the question and check, so am I running home empty the next 150 miles or do I take a chance on it? 9 times out of 10, you take your chance on it and you will be all right. But I just think there's no, even if they say, well, it's got to be forklifted, we haven't got loading bays, you can always use a set of pallet trucks in the back to bring the load up and down the trailer.
That is a really good point, right? I'm going to give you that one, that if I can get away with palleting the load out of the back doors without opening the sides up, I'm going to do it all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't mind that whatsoever. There's a few jobs we do that we load for Denmark, and that we load 33 pallets through the back doors on the Euroliners. You know, I've got no intention of opening the sides up, and I'm happy to do it because it's a bit of exercise and stuff. You know, so I don't mind that. But
it's probably quicker as well.
Yeah, I was about to say. I've had it with the forklift drivers argued about it, saying, no, it's going to take longer, this. Mm. So they still go with it, and they do it through the back doors on the pallet trucks. And at the end of it, I'd say to them, well, every time I was stood at that back door waiting for you to bring a pallet, that means it's quicker. If you're sat at the back of the trailer waiting for me to bring the pallet down the trailer, then maybe your argument holds a bit of water, but if I'm the one waiting on you, then it's obviously not quicker. It's actually quicker to load through the back doors of a box trailer. And when you're done, back doors closed, load bar in, back doors closed, you're on your way. Not another 20 minutes messing around, strapping loads down, strapping curtains down. In the UK, 9 times out of 10 in the pouring down rain.
Putting boards back in, stuff like that.
And then thinking, right, well, where am I going to park tonight? Well, it doesn't matter where you park. If you're in the services, someone's only got to come along with a Stanley knife, open that up. Lovely. He's got a trailer full of alcohol. And people will go, well, you should park more securely, but let's face reality, we're in the UK, that's not an option. And it's not impossible to break into a fridge or a box trailer, but it is a bit more labor intensive.
Yes.
It's a lot more, there's a lot more chance of you making a racket. And at the end of the day, if they look around a truck park full of trucks and trailers and they see, oh well, there's like 30 curtain sides over there and 3 box trailers over there, they'll think, well, let's have a look at those curtains first.
You've got
it's
to
the last thing they're going to go that's the last thing they're going to go for, is the one that's going to be harder to get into.
I think one of my sort of biggest bugbears with the curtain side as well is it's just so overused because it's very sort of universal, but I know our friend Toffee said there's no such thing as a worthless load, because all loads have a value, but obviously some are higher value than others. So like Luke just said, with alcohol or cosmetics, things, TVs, things like that, they should not be going into a curtain side where it's so easy to get. And load theft, as we know, is rife in the UK. And if that option's removed, And people have to think about how they're going to load vehicles a bit more rather than going, well, it's just going to go in a curtain sider. And so, because we're all paying for this ultimately, with insurance premiums going up, you know, across the board, yeah, and costs of everything. It's, you know, but again, it's cost. That's the biggest problem with the haulage industry, cost.
Well, this is what I said to you the other day, wasn't it? So, like your point when you said it benefits the customer more so than it does the haulier.
Yeah.
I'm the one on the hook if anything happens to that load. I'm also the one that's now got to pay £40 to park in some truck stops and services now. And I said, if they were to make it a rule that, all right, if you insist that the haulier has to come up, turn up with a curtain side trailer, you say, well, the customer is liable to pay for the parking. If they want secure parking, they got to pay for it. And if they said, well, we'll ensure that the haulier is responsible for insuring it if it goes on a box trailer. If they put the liability on the customer for curtain side, they go, well, you insist it's got to go in a curtain, and you know that it's a high value load, but this is exactly, like, you insist on it, so you're liable to insure it. I think a lot of them would change their attitudes and policy and think, bloody hell, that's, yeah, we don't really fancy that.
Mm. See, but look, right, as you're a company owner, right, and I don't know the answer to this, but it's interesting. If you got your load nicked and you was in a lay-by, would your insurance company then come to you and say, well, you didn't do secure parking?
It's not anything that has ever happened to me, so I'm not entirely sure.
Mm.
The main line of business for an insurance company is to get out of paying you a claim.
Yeah, 100%.
So they would definitely use that against you.
I think the first thing they're going to say to you, if you turn around and say, I've had 8 pallets in it, they're going to say, well, where was you parked? That's going to be their first question. Where was you parked? Oh, I was parked on an industrial estate. Oh, well, oh, if you look at section 4, paragraph 3,
line
2A, it says secure parking.
Yeah.
So let's say that's it. That is probably what insurance companies would do. So if you were to then actually put the onus on the customer who insisted it had to be in a curtain trailer, they'd probably start thinking, well, we'd rather lessen the risk then. And if there's a chance he might be in a lay-by or an industrial estate, maybe we'd rather it was in a fridge trailer or a box trailer, something a little bit more secure, if they think, well, we're on the hook for this now.
Yeah.
Because the insurance companies, they'll all try and wriggle out of it. Like, I'm at Campbell Road now, and it's already full up. What's time is that? It's 5 to 7. There's no space for any more trucks here. If you've just arrived with 8 hours, 45 minutes on your card, and what do you do now?
With a load of tellies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go, well, what do I do? Well, now, what? And they can say, oh, you should have planned a bit better. It just... Transport don't work like that, does it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to Bury, and I thought, so fortunately, the customer I'm working for now, they do pay for the parking when they say that they want it secure parking. So the only parking, so I come from Portsmouth up to here, so this is the last secure, so say parking, it is secure enough in here, but the only other options between here and Bury are Knutsford, Lym, and
just
that's
motorway services.
Yeah. Well,
which are far from secure.
I've seen plenty of pictures of curtain side trailers cut to ribbons in Lym truck stop.
That's diabolical, isn't it?
But if I had a box trailer on now, I would have probably went to Lym because I'd have thought I got a bit more chance. Maybe I could back up to another trailer so that my back doors are sealed.
Yeah.
You think, I could take the punt on Lym there, but with a curtain side, I just think, no, not with what I'm carrying. It's not worth the risk.
Yeah. Because I remember quite a few years ago, and Alex might remember this as well, a friend of mine, Keith Williams, he worked for Edwards.
Willie Betts.
And he had loaded Bosch power tools, parked at Heston Services, and he got gassed. And Keith doesn't drink. And when he woke up, he felt like he had a hangover and blah, blah, blah. And the insurance company said, well, you must have got drunk. It's like,
how would he know if he doesn't drink?
Well, because he used to. So he knew what a hangover was like. And yeah, I think you had 6 pallets of Bosch power tools stolen out the side. Well, again, power tool, that's a, in my mind, that's a high-value load, and it shouldn't be in a curtain.
I think it's a bit mad. So I used to do house removals for a living.
Yeah.
So you just imagine a removal company turned out of a curtain side, and they were taking you were moving down to Spain, for example, and then they showed up on the curtain side trailer. You'd do your nut. You'd think, no way, as all of my goods going in that. Yeah. So why would a manufacturer or a company think, yeah, what we'll do is we'll put about £250,000 worth of power tools in a curtainside trailer?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because so, even with, like, if you argue, well, like with Luke, for argument's sake, if you're working for a freight forwarder, you're not necessarily going to know what the stuff is, for argument's sake. If you asked a quote on a job from A to B and it's 20 pallets or whatever, you're not told what it is. So until you get there with your curtain sider, and then the company are like, oh, well, it's high value. Oh, we'll just have to load it anyway. Well, that company know that their stuff's worth a lot of money, and there's a potential.
Well, what really frustrates me, having had to do work for freight forwarders as well, is when they send you their email with on the job confirmation, must be secure parking, can't stop here, can't do this, can't do that. And you think, oh, so I've got to do all of that. If you'd have told me this in advance and what the value of this load would be, then I'd have probably said, well, we're going to need another couple of £100 on the job for the parking and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if they say, oh, it's a load of timber, even though they have this written on their email every time, you think it's timber at the end of the day. No one ain't picking that up and walking away with it.
No.
Yeah.
No, but it's
so
just...
What would you think can't go on a flat or a box trailer then?
What couldn't go on a flat or a box trailer?
Yeah, because I've done glass bottles before. I've had, like, glass in Leeds, just do glass down at Belvedere. And they used to have 52 pallets of it, double stacks in a tall trailer. So all that's strapped up, you know, with things. So then now you've got to tell the customer, right, you're not getting 52, you're only getting 26.
Well, why not have a high box? Yeah. Load it on a bay.
What, like a 15-foot box?
Yeah.
Well, you get 15-foot curtains. I'm looking at an Eldis Transport one right in front of me right now.
Yeah, well, that's toilet rolls, isn't it? That's what they do, is toilet rolls.
See, it's a tall trailer, no? You could still. Yeah. There's no reason that couldn't be a box trailer.
You do get tall boxes, definitely.
Yeah.
So, that's certainly possible. Or again, if it's something like the Akeri, and when you then start looking around Europe, people don't generally run them, but let's look at, like, Sweden and Scandinavia, because is the Akeri Finnish? Or is it Swedish? I think
it's Finnish.
Do you know why
they came up with the concept?
No.
It's because, obviously, people living so far north in Scandinavia, they need produce. So they need fridge trailers bringing the stuff up there, but they couldn't backload the fridge trailers.
Right. Okay.
So the Akeri were designed because of the biggest thing coming back down the other direction, what there's always a load of, timber.
I was going to say, got
the
timber.
These trailers were designed to take palletized loads north and then bring what would say, you could say, as a curtain side load back.
Right.
For loads of timber. Well, they've proven that it can be done.
Yeah. And when you look at the other Swedish and other manufacturers, most of them are box bodies that are opening on one or both sides, and they don't generally tend to manufacture. They probably do manufacture a curtain cider, but it will be special order because your European curtains are people like Krohn, Schmitz, and whatnot. No, I don't. Again, there must be a Swedish manufacturer that does offer one, but all the home market trucks are big, tall box.
They're 10 a penny, yeah. And obviously their weight, their height limits are similar to ours.
Yeah.
So they're not restricted to 4 meters. So anything that's 4 meters might be because it goes outside of Scandinavia.
Hmm.
So you will have trailers with a 3 meter internal height, but they are either just a box, but side opening box, or a side opening fridge.
Hmm.
So it shows you don't necessarily need to have curtain sides.
Yeah,
if they could swap it for these bodies, and I know they're expensive, but the way I sort of looked at it as well,
yeah,
is you've got three trailers in one. There, you've got a box, you've got a fridge, and you've got a curtain. So you might spend £70,000 buying the trailer, but it's one lot of maintenance, one parking space if you're paying per parking space.
Mm.
And I did a job earlier this year where I took Formula 2 cars down to Barcelona for testing, over to Milan for air freight. Which was technically, I say, a curtain side job because it all had to load the cars through the side in the big air freight crates.
Mm-hmm.
And then I reloaded with chilled goods to come back. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have done that job without an Akeri.
Yeah.
Couldn't have done the whole job with a curtain side. I couldn't have, obviously couldn't have took the cars down there with a fridge.
Yeah, it gave you more options.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it'd be nice to see more thought and development going towards side opening boxes, really.
Yeah.
I know Schmitz do one.
But again, the thing I was going to say is that the Europeans, I'll just say this a minute, Matt. The thing is with the Europeans, especially the Dutch, right? They don't think nothing of chucking a couple of hundred grand at a truck to make it specific for a specific
yeah.
task.
Yeah.
Do you know? You see them, they've got the double dolly trailers, the two containers on it, one on the extra skelly on the back, and in it, they've got all these fancy equipment. You know, they do not think at all about chucking money at a truck to get it all what they want.
They're not afraid to innovate, are they?
No, that's it.
It just seems to just be trying to go for a one size fits all solution. Like, I know using some of these UK built trailers, I think they're heaps of shit, basically. A lot of them. And I know, having had Schmitz trailers and Krings, and obviously you use a lot of them, Alex, doing the unaccompanied stuff into the docks, they can be a bit more difficult to use and they're a bit easier to break, but they are more versatile in what they can do.
But they do need a hub. That's the core thing of that. It's everything in transport, isn't it? You could buy probably, what, 5 curtain siders compared with 1 Akeri? Although the Akeri will outlive it by double the amount, because yours is over 20 years old now, isn't it, Luke?
22 years old now, my trailer. I was doing my GCSEs when that one was made.
that's making me and Alex feel old.
Yeah.
But the life expectancy. The life expectancy of a curtain sider is probably 10 years or so. And because they are not particularly strongly built, they are very susceptible to damage, you know, damaged posts. Curtains, because they're so easy to cut, you don't often see a curtain that's not got like a repair mark where either something's gone over or someone's been at it with a Stanley knife. So, you know, again, if you had that big, huge slash, like, going back to Keith Williams, you know, his curtain, I really see that needs a new curtain. And we asked Mason, didn't we, before recording this, what was it, about $2,000 for a set of curtains? I think so.
$3,000 I was quoted from.
$3,000. So if you think that on top, you know, if you obviously depend on how big your fleet is and how many incidents you have, I don't know how common it is to have to do that. But it soon adds up to the point of it's like, well, if I invest a bit more in this better trailer and, you know, sturdier thing that will last longer, it will kind of pay, you know, you speculate to accumulate, it's going to pay for itself in a quicker amount of time.
What I would say is, I suppose the curtain sides, especially the UK built ones like an SDC, they are quite idiot proof as well. They can take a bit more of a beat in than like a Schmitz or a Krung.
Yeah.
And as we were talking about earlier with, like Alex was saying, with the Akeri trailers and how the doors drop a little bit and you've got to know how to use it.
Yeah.
And obviously the standard of some of the drivers that are out there now.
Oh, God.
I think probably, I'd say 9 out of 10 wouldn't be capable of opening and closing the doors on an Akeri.
Mm-hmm. If you've got to think about the people that are picking up the trailers on the other side of the water. Like, it's all right, on this side, but some of the trailers that are coming in, the way they're loaded, the way they're strapped or not strapped, the way they even just put the boards in is shocking.
It is.
Yeah.
Never mind trusting them with a $150,000 trailer.
Well,
that's the thing. So when you see someone that couldn't even do that with a curtain side, someone that couldn't close a Lawrence David curtain side up properly, you think, what chance have you got with those Akeris? And they are they're a really good tool. You just need to know what you're doing a little bit more of it. Whereas I just think people aren't interested in training drivers properly.
No, that's what I was going to say. That if you had a firm and you had these Akeri trailers, which are brilliant and they're versatile, you'd want it one man, one truck, one trailer, wouldn't you? Do you know? You wouldn't want it mixing around the fleet with all people coming in.
That in any operation, don't you? If you can get away with that type of operation, then it's happy days.
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
That's just not the realities of the business.
No, sadly. No. It's just, my friend Mark Farrow has a wonderful word for drivers like that. He calls them door slammers, and they just... They are, aren't they? They're just
door swingers.
Door slammers. Yeah, door slammers. They just, you know, they're just not interested in the job. No care, anything like that. It's just, you know, a means to an end of making money, and with the attitude of, well, if I've damaged that, I don't really care. It's not my problem. Not my money.
Yeah, that's what you got insurance for. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't stand these sorts of drivers. They resent the job horrendously, and I think,
why'd you do it?
Got you in handcuffs then, making you doing it. Yeah. If it's something that makes you that miserable,
yeah,
fucking leave it. Go and do something else. Go to Tills and Tesco's.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But it's, yeah, again, because it's all down to cost, and every, you know, as we all know, it's a race to the bottom and whatnot, it's highly unlikely that they're going to catch on. But again, as well, because they've just become such a staple part of general haulage in the UK, there's no incentive for trailer companies to invest in trying to improve the thing, is there?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I mean. So, like, if, what you were saying, just say that it was banned, people would be forced to innovate with it. And I think a part of the reason why in a Kerry, and I think there's one called VAC. There's another one that I've seen up in Scandinavia. I think there's a few of them up there, yeah. But not. I think it's pretty like small market. It's just, same with any industry, is if more people are doing it, it gets competitive, and they can afford to keep the price as high as they do because no one else is doing that.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, you don't like the price, well, sod off and get one elsewhere. If not, sign on a dotted line.
Yeah.
Whereas if all the big manufacturers were offering some,
yeah,
obviously some would be cheaper, the build quality would be crap, and it'd be a lot like we're talking about now with like how some of the European manufactured trailers last longer than the UK manufactured ones. It would be the same sort of thing, but it would probably mean the bigger ones, like your Kerrys and stuff, would still probably be more expensive, but they'd have to say, well, we do need to do something here, though. We do need to do something to just keep ourselves in the game, because if someone's looking at it, like you said, they go, well, I could have one of the Kerry or two, let's say Mondragon, suddenly you start building them, they go, well, we'll get the two Mondragon, won't we? We're getting
two
for the price of one there.
Yeah.
So then the bigger companies and the more established ones, they still would have to think, well, we do need to rein this in a little bit and see if we can stay competitive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just...
But there's no need to at the moment, so that's why everyone looks at the price tag and thinks, sold that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's it, I can buy five curtain siders for that one trailer. I'm going to do that.
Well, there's a company, I think they're like Skelmersdale way. Is it MJ Griffiths?
Yeah.
Yes. Ah, yeah, Fridges, yeah. The markets, yeah. They do the markets.
Well, yeah, I think most of theirs are Kerrys. They're probably
thinking about it.
Yeah,
they got to be the biggest operator in the UK for that.
Yeah,
yeah, well, they've got a few. Yeah,
I don't know if there's anyone else who's got them other than yourself. Is there any?
I know he's not. It's not a trailer, but I know Paul Ponsby. I've seen that some of their rigids have got an Kerry body on them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, right.
That's essentially what the Scandinavian trucks mostly are, aren't they? They're a rigid.
Yeah.
With then a 45-foot trailer behind them. So
yeah. Kerry built the bodies. Ian Rogers doing some with the cars, but it's they're side loaders.
Yeah, they're like Casport trailers, aren't they? All these includes transport trailers. Yeah, a lot of them all got a lot of doors that open down the side, but it's a transporter inside.
Scotty Bywater, I see him on Facebook. I'm not friends with him. Hasn't he got one?
He did have one, yeah. I don't know if he still got it. But yeah, I do remember him having one as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Because one other thing I thought about as well, let's just say they did get banned. Obviously, most of the UK haulage is now built up on the pallet networks, isn't it? So all the night trunkers and stuff like that, all of a sudden, they can't have curtain siders. But when you look at Germany, for argument's sake, all them night trunkers are 20-foot containers or drop bodies, aren't they? Everywhere through Germany, the whole night market is made up of containers. So
drop bodies, they are.
Didn't you send me a post the other day of a double-deck trailer that they pulled in there and he's been fined for an insecure load?
Yeah.
Even though he had all of those roof straps and everything, he still got done for an unsecured load. And I thought,
I think he put them on. I don't think he had any straps on, and they then made him strap it and fined him.
Oh, right.
I believe, I think.
Yeah, because I thought the picture, I thought you could see the straps on it. I thought, well, if they're saying... Because I didn't make those straps anyway. Like I said... Say you've got a pallet full of Coca-Cola and you've got that one roof strap, but say that's each pallet is like six boxes, I don't know, like how they fit onto a pallet. Well, that's only holding one of those boxes. I know it's shrink wrapped and stuff, but what if
someone they're shrink wrapped very loosely, aren't they? Yeah, there might be one wrap round and that's it.
Yeah.
You've got to anchor the brakes on, take evasive action, that load shoots to the left or to the right. And you're relying on then the curtain to hold everything in. And they say these Codex L curtains. I still don't, I can't quite believe that if you shot a 19 ton load to the side, that curtain's going to
withhold
save that load going over.
I've seen pictures of them when loads have gone over with timber and stuff like that. Water, especially water. The curtains held the load in, but it hasn't held the load in place.
Mm. And that's the thing.
The trailer hasn't burst. The curtains haven't burst. They've held it, but it hasn't gone all over the floor.
Whereas if you're in a box, there's no room for it to bulge, is there? It's just it falls
See,
against the wall.
Another thing we do box trailers, and I've got quite a few of them. And they'll load IBCs. Was it 22 IBCs? I think you get in a box trailer. I think it is. But
well, I think they've seen sort of pallet, aren't they? Well, I suppose it's the weight.
They're a bit bigger, I think. I think they're a bit bigger. Is it 22, 24? Anyway, whatever it is. Right? But then they put the four load bars at the back. And I just think, you know, if that's going to shift somewhere, you know, you've got 20 odd ton of chemicals sloshing about, you know, them load bars just aren't going to hold it.
Hmm.
Yeah,
they've made it, haven't they, in Europe with IBCs. You've got to have two straps on every IBC, haven't they?
Yeah, and the UK, I think, as well.
Yeah, and the UK. Yeah, I class it all the same, you know, like in the UK as well, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's what are you going to do in your box trailer with just four load bars at the back that's just to hold in a load of lettuce?
Hmm.
Well, but what sort of load bars is it? Because if you're using the E-Track load bars... that we use, and Matt has obviously had on like Trans Am.
Yeah.
Yeah, we use trailers the Yardley, so them load bars are brilliant.
Yeah.
Them box trailers are really good.
That's what I would call it, a load bar. I know the thing you're on about the tension.
The pole.
I agree.
Yeah, pole. You just pull the handle down, don't you? And it just goes
I'd agree.
Bit, yeah.
That's not good enough. But if that's the sort of work you do and you know you're going to need to use a box trailer on it, then it's on you to go, right, well, we need to make sure it's got the right load bar in it.
Mm.
Yeah.
I do work for Amazon at the end of the day, and they dictate a rule to you about you have to have this minimum level to do their work. So if someone's saying, well, it's IBCs, but if you show up and you haven't got that type of load bars, you've just got these poles, we'll turn you away.
Mm.
It's on you then to just get one of the right gear.
Do you have to have the same like load bars you have on like the tour trucks and stuff then in them?
You've got
big, thick ones that lock in.
Yeah, that's it. So you've got to have those, you have to have three of them, or three ratchet straps.
Okay.
All of their loads are only about 5 ton, but it's like, that's just, if you turn up and you haven't got that gear in the truck, they'll just turn you away.
Because again, when I was thinking about recording this and, you know, what to say and whatnot, obviously my mind did go to Amazon, so I thought, have they even got a curtain sider in their fleet? Or is it all box?
Not their own. They will have the rental ones in there, and
just because it's a rental,
And subcontractors like going. You can go in. You can use a curtain side, but now, you know, have you seen the supermarket curtain sides when they've got the straps going all in the side of the curtains? Mm. So they make sure
all the rings all every down, aren't they? Yeah,
yeah. They've got to have all of that gear in there. Or if you've got a Euroliner, you're okay as long as you've got all the boards in the side of a Euroliner.
Mm. Mm.
But if you just turned up with just a normal curtain side and your hanging straps, you'd be told, nah, on your way. And I think, yeah, right. Because these big carts that they use, even though the load's not that heavy, you can't secure it properly without load bars or proper straps going from side to side. Mm. But the thing is, for everyone that's had to fit all those straps in the sides, is now that curtain side's not really any good to them as a curtain side, because they've actually, they're using all the upright posts. They've had to have rings welded onto it. I looked in the back of one. I thought that looks murder to deal with. If you showed up somewhere and they said, right, we're loading through the side, you'd think brilliant.
Flipping it.
Yeah, beat that one out, Matt.
But when I used to do a lot of work to France every week and with Ziegler's, and Ziegler's had, I can't remember them having every curtain size. It was all box trailers they had.
Mm.
And I could do a full week with 11 deliveries around France and 7 collections, and I'd just get everything off the back of the trailer, on and off the back.
This is what I said. The UK is the only place that's got an absolute stonk on for everything going through the sides.
Mm.
Whereas when you're in Europe, majority of everything, if it's palletized, I'd say 9 times out of 10, you will be on a loading bay. You'll never load palletized loads through the side.
No.
It'll only be like when I've been in Spain loading long lengths of tube and stuff like that, and it's gone through the side or through the roof or something.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying, and those tubes and stuff could be on a flatbed and raked in a sheet head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even just on a flatbed if they don't need weather, if they're plastic tubes, they're not going to need weather protection, are they? So
no. But like, obviously, I seen a post someone commented on saying and they used to load on a flatbed from Kellogg's and left a rope and sheet.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we don't want to go back to those sorts of days. I couldn't even imagine what that would be like. Yeah.
But you wouldn't
do that.
But you wouldn't need to because you've got a box.
You'd load it in your box.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Or your side opening box, you know, one or the other. And again, America.
This is what they say. It can either go on a flatbed or a box.
Yeah.
Those are the only two trailers needed, really. And I think you do get curtains there. And that's a very specialist thing to have a curtain side trailer in America.
There's not many of them about, is there? There really isn't. No. So,
whenever I've been, I've not seen one. I've seen photos of American ones, but I didn't actually see one in person. I've been over there.
Which makes me wonder what they use them for in America.
Like I said, it's probably something quite specialist in bespoke. It's just for a certain customer and a certain contract or something. Because they probably to them it's probably less of a sellable asset or something. It's sort of more like a one trick pony to them.
Yeah,
a lot like back in the day, having a step frame box trailer to do event transport.
Mm.
It was a one trick pony really, because you could only really do events. You couldn't do haulage with it. You couldn't get a full load of pallets in and stuff like that. So.
No.
Whether that's the way that they view the curtain side trailers, and that's why they don't generally tend to bother with them over there, I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, hopefully, because I know we have got a few American listeners, so they can give us a bit of feedback and let us know, if they've seen them and if they're what they're used for.
Well, what's that lad saves Australian? You've got an Australian lad that you mates with on the app, haven't you?
Paul O'Callaghan. Now, I messaged him, and I also messaged Ed Nolliff, and curtain sides are really, really common and popular Australia, New Zealand. And again, because when I messaged Paul, the curtain siders, because of the outback, because they move about a lot more, the curtain siders going to stand up to the punishments of the outback, I think, a lot better than what something like the Ikeri will. That would just get an absolute hammering and just probably fall a bit. So for there, it's actually a better tool.
From what I can tell as well in America, I think it's kept having only flatbeds and boxes. So box drivers, they call them door swingers, and they're sort of viewed as not proper truckers.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've got a flatbed, I think they call them a loader,
right,
or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
You're likely to be more specialist because you know how to rope and sheet. You're doing maybe more out of gauge stuff, things that can't just go through the back doors on a forklift. So it's possibly meant drivers can earn a bit more money because what they do is a bit more specialist. Whereas then, if you introduce curtain siders into the market, then the door swingers are now starting to do all of the flatbed work as well. Mm. And they would start seeing that, what's a well-paying job now is
stuffed.
On the same way as everything in your, it's gone just to the race to the bottom now.
And again, because the curtain is so overused, we've all seen pictures of, people who've tried to load like a 30-ton digger in the back of like a Schmitz Euroliner, which is never designed for that. So, yeah, we've all seen these pictures, but because the trailer's cheap, and the options there, they're going to try it and just
good idea. Yeah, and we've seen plenty of pictures of the rear ends of the chassis snapped and stuff when they maybe this 20-ton machine isn't designed to go in a trailer like this.
Then. That's it. But we're cheap.
There's a reason newbie boom feel like they can get away with charging $60,000 for a low loader. I'm realizing that now that I've snapped the chassis on a Schmitz trailer.
This episode of Match Trucking Great Podcast is kindly sponsored by Cuda UK. Cuda offer one of the largest ranges of truck accessories in the UK and Europe, partnering with well-known brands such as Hadley, Nedking, Truck Chef, Strands, TomTom, Lightfix, and many more. Shop online at www.cudauk.limited.uk and use a discount code TRUCKINGGREAT for 10% off your next order. Thank you very much, Cuda, for your support. We really appreciate it. Again, the mind boggles. And again, the person sending the machine should look at that trailer and go, we're not putting it in there. What are you? Are you mad? But
I think that's mostly export stuff, though, isn't it? Like we said, when the Polish carrier said, well, we can take it there for €1,000 and all the Brits wanted £4,000, they go, well, we'll take a punt on that one then.
He's probably got a low loader.
and then they go, well, his trailer broke. Well, that's a him problem, not me.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you said you're going to load it.
Yeah.
It benefited the customer more because they were paying less money for the transport.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, so exactly. It goes back to what we said. If they were being told, well, you, all right, but you've got to start paying for these curtains to be parked and secure parkings, that they go, oh, well, maybe might as well just be paying for the box trailer to come and do it then.
I'm starting to come around to your way of thinking a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. No, I am starting to come around to your way of thinking a bit, really. Because like you say, like, in Europe and that, you know, like, they don't have all these curtain siders everywhere. Do you know what I mean? And do you know, like Luke says, there's Eldis parked in there, which, that's toilet rolls, isn't it? That's why the trailer is so big, double stacked. But you don't have double stacked toilet rolls in Germany, do you?
No,
so let's just get 26 pallets at a time, and that's
yeah,
it.
That's it. The height limit. I mean, I've long since been of the opinion we should have a lower height limit in the UK, just to get rid of some of these ginormous trailers. But that's because they look just so unstable, especially in high winds. You just eliminate. Yeah. But I think you should make the trucks longer. Like what a lot of Europe, if the Czech Republic can run, a truck like a rigid with a 45-foot trailer, why on earth can't we do it here? We're so out of touch. Even if it was just, if you strictly limit it to say like depots on the main motorway network, so you can't go you can't go into towns.
I know it's
a different argument. Yeah,
it is. But the thing is, we're in this country, right? Abroad. Right, I don't know why. I mean, I've done a lot of work abroad. Luke still does it. You've done it, right? Their attitude to drivers and lorries is so different to ours, right?
Yeah.
And if you add that, right, they'd be saying, well, why can't you get into London?
Well, yeah.
What do you mean you need to drop the trailer off somewhere?
But again, if you made it specific.
They respect the driver. They respect the driver, and they appreciate he ain't taking that trailer into London. He ain't taking it into Dusseldorf or Milan or Paris. Yeah. He ain't taking that. He's going to drop it off somewhere and get it transshipped. And they're ready for that, you know. Yeah. But in this country, they'll be like, well, it's got to be in Birmingham at 1 o'clock. You know, I can't do that. You know, like, why not? The other bloke did it the other day.
That's it. But if the laws are set out with like strictly permitted routes, for argument's sake, so you could just night trunk, even say 2 45-foot trailers, you could do that easily from say like South Mimms, for argument's sake, up to Carlisle, wherever, stick them up, come off a junction into a depot, drop them both, pick up the two return ones, and then the local drivers then go off and deliver them to wherever they've got to go. That'd be very easy to do and manage. Well, I know we've gone off the topic of curtain siders, but you know
Stobart's in the day when they had the big depots all over the place. Mm-hmm. It'd have been ideal for them, do you know? Trailers here and there.
Same with Maritime. If they could have like the Dutch set up with like a rigid with 20-foot box and a 40 or 45-foot on a trailer and a dolly, trunk it depot to depot and then drop, swap, and local people move it about.
Even if they're just going to the depot and one of the local day drivers,
that's it,
tips just one of the boxes,
that's
and
it,
and then you sit one and then hook the trailers back up together afterwards.
Yeah So rather than having high, go long. It's a much safer
Denby
option.
Tried that, didn't he? He was a big, when he Dick Denby was a massive advocate for that, wasn't he?
And Stan,
he's still alive.
I think Dick Denby's died, but the company's still going, and Stan Robinson was the same. He was trying to get it in as well.
You know exactly what would happen if they gave the green light to say, oh, we can start doing this running 245s. I'd say, oh, brilliant, we'll get 245-foot double-deckers now on the back of that unit.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a pallet hub.
Yeah,
what
that's
a treat that would be to driving home.
With a Volvo FM on the front.
Yeah. Didn't they, years ago, you know, when they bought these trailers, you know, like, that have got the back axle at the back, it's not a 30.5 metre, but they're a bit longer, isn't they?
LSTs, they call them.
LSTs.
Didn't they grant licenses for something like 2,500 and only 1,000 some got taken up? So people weren't keen on them.
Yeah, anyone can have them now, though.
They can have them, but they just don't want them.
Because that's the thing. So, well, you go to some places as well, though, and how tight it is getting in, you think, and it's tight enough now.
The cab's
getting longer.
They do manoeuvre well, them LSTs, but you've got to be aware of it kicking out of the back, because Trans Am have got two, I think it was, and all the straw boys and girls, all of them have got them, because you'll fit a perfect set of bales, front and back, no overhang, job done. Yeah. So, yeah.
It comes in practicality with, like, just parking, for example.
Mm.
So all of these bays here now, where I am, I might tell it, 16.5 metres.
Yeah.
Well, if I've got a DAX, an XG Plus, for example, that's, 40 centimetres longer now, these ones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then say you've got one of those trailers on, you could be like 80 meters.
Yeah.
Well, my mate's got a fleet of them. My mate where he works.
Yes.
I'll tell you where he works. He works at HPH down at Milton Keynes. Right. They've got a fleet of them. Right, and they've had a lot of problems with drivers. You know, like you say, being in the service, pulling out for the space and just whacking somebody else's truck.
Yeah.
You know,
the thing that worries me
and stuff like that.
What would worry me is if I was driving one and I'm the one parking, you're that much further out from a bay. I was in Mayor Services the other night, and it's quite tight, and it's just enough room as they pull out to then swing it left. Well, if I'm 40 centimetres further out of that bay,
yeah,
that bit that would usually be clear for this tail swing to go round, I'm in that now. Mm-hmm. So my motor's getting clattered on the way out.
I think
they haven't taken off in this country just because our infrastructure just doesn't support it.
No.
It's not like they're suddenly going to say, well, we're going to go around all of these RDCs now, just make them that little bit bigger to accommodate these trailers, and everyone's got to make all the services and the truck stops just that little bit bigger, these bays. We'd just rather they didn't show up to park here.
Stuff it. Yeah. We'd rather they didn't perhaps to...
Yeah, find someone else to park.
That's it, yeah.
Exactly.
Because when you look at the supermarkets, for argument's sake, Morrison's have got some of them longer trailers, but I think they're the only one. All the others are still at 13.6, aren't they, I believe?
Again, a lot of these yards you go to, they're only designed...
Yeah.
For getting a 45-foot truck around in it. So if you do get some of those, they can become a bit of an operational headache, because you might have a truck that's just tipped and you go, all right, well, I need to go and pick that load up. And you go, shit, he will not get into that yard. We know the access down to that company.
Yeah.
You just about get around there with a normal Arctic, and he's the only one in the area. Or what we might end up having to do now is drag someone 100 miles away to come and pick that load up because his trailer's too long for it. So unless you've just got just a regular thing going back and forth to the same places, and you know access isn't an issue, and you go, you always come back empty because you're paid round trip, those trailers, they'd be no good for just going out tramping for the week with.
Not really, no. If we put our time into actually... The better vehicle all round, rather than, because what is it, 8 pallets? Think you get more on?
I think if they're double stacked, I think you get 8 pallets. I might be wrong.
Yeah,
are they 15.6 meters long, the trailers? I think
because I think they're 53 foot, aren't they? So, which is what, 8 foot? So my maths is terrible, unfortunately.
If it is 15, that's an extra 2 meters, isn't it? So
yeah,
that's 2 pallets aside. Double stacked is 8.
Yeah, so it's
quick maths.
Yeah, so you're not really gaining a huge amount, are you? Whereas, again, if you implemented the other system like most of Europe has, like the Dutch, Germans, Spanish, I'd say Czech.
Depends what you carry, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because another 4 pallets, if you're moving
heavy stuff,
Coca-Cola, for example,
you
can't get it on anyway.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
So unless you're doing volume work, and it's more about how much space you've got, so you, like Elders over there with the toilet rolls.
Yeah.
You think, well, brilliant. Yeah, obviously, yeah, that'd be quite handy slinging a few more pallets in there. But
yeah. Just going back to the curtain side, there's one other thing that a friend of mine, another one, when I chat to him, he said, well, sometimes you get product that naturally overhangs the pallet, which, again, Griffiths might well have experience of this, like onions. When you put bags of onions on a pallet,
how do you
stop them overhanging? To keep them engaged, to put them in a box trailer, for argument's sake. How would you do that?
Smaller bags.
Well, I said that, or you end up making a pallet like that's sort of like partially crate, you know, if it's got sides on
like
it.
Like a cage.
But the thing is, like you said, just say hypothetically they were suddenly outlawed, curtain side trailers. It's down to the people packing those onions and stitching them. They need to adapt to
that. That's it, the customer. Yeah, that's it.
Instead, it's always us, but we've got to adapt to their problems.
That's it, yeah. Their problems become our problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said at the start.
And what about the price? So then we're going to get into the price of stuff, aren't we? Because once you get your toilet rolls that are coming in, right? 52 pallets, now down to 26. So you now need another lorry, right?
But like we said, in the UK, there's no reason you couldn't have a lot of these Eldest lorries, for example, bringing the toilet rolls in, they'll still go to like a Tesco's and stuff like that and unload on a loading bay.
Yeah.
A, a majority of these RDCs are actually taking stuff off on loading bays.
Because
it's the people, sending the stuff to the RDC that aren't doing it on a loading bay.
Because when you think of like Stericycle, who do the hospital waste and clinical waste, they're all...
They're tall bodies, aren't they?
Yeah, stupidly tall. Like,
my truck's a low ride, so I can get 3 metres internal height and still be under 4 metres, so you're up.
Yeah.
So it's, for a low ride truck, it's not that much more... It won't be that much taller. Mm. If you want a 3.5 metres internal height, you'd be 4.5 metres tall.
Yeah.
Well, that's like a lot of average height current siders now, but they ain't got nowhere near the internal height.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's that. That's another way you'd adapt to it. You say, well, all right, we've just got to start running lower height chassis.
Yeah. Which would be fairly simple to do. And quite a few of them offer a 6x2 as a low ride, don't they?
Makes do now. Yeah. Volvo do, Merck do, Scania do one.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's no getting around it that. But the only thing is, I would say with some of like I said, you need to be mindful of the access, as you probably know how low that fifth wheel is, and it can catch the catwalk and things like that. Mm-hmm. Drivers just aren't up to scratch to even think about those things now, and they only think about it after they bent this chassis, and they say, well, I don't even know how that happened.
Yeah, it's a bit.
So there's that side of thing that would be an issue.
Yeah. And again, it just goes back to the whole thing of cost, the cost of it all, the cost of training, wages. You know, if wages were better, you'd get a better caliber of driver because more people who don't do the job would be here.
Also, the places you deliver to. Like I said earlier, the Akeri, if you're on uneven ground and stuff, it can be quite hard to close the doors. There's a bit of a knack to it. If you don't know it, you'll struggle. Whereas over in Scandinavia and in Europe, a lot of these places you deliver to, like I said, it is normally a nice concreted level flat yard. It's easy to deal with. Whereas we've all been to a place I used to park, actually, just an absolute dump of a haulage yard with big craters everywhere.
Yeah.
And
you
look at a curtain side trailer when it's unloaded and it's twisted like a... I was going to swear again. Then I stopped myself.
Well done.
Self-censoring myself there. So yeah, if I went in there with the Akeri and opened the doors up, I probably I'd have a nightmare trying to close it up.
It'd be like back in the day, which you've probably actually not got the experience of with the tilts, but Alex probably has, where if you rebuilt a tilt and you just couldn't get the sheet back on, you'd have to sort of do it up as best you can, drive a couple of miles down the road, get the wind under it, let it settle, and then stop and do it all over again.
Do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, going by that, I can see why going from a tilt to a curtain side, it was a good thing. Because when you get a tilt, especially when it's a strip out, like, oh, for God, that's the last thing you want because it is so much hard work. But then obviously the Euroliner comes along. It's like, bloody hell, you can just push this roof back. I haven't got to take it all apart and blah, blah, blah. And it made it an awful lot better. But
do you not also think, like I said, you have to have a bit about you running around with a tilt trailer and stuff. And then once they've made it that much easier, you go, well, we can downgrade the job a little bit now.
Mm.
People don't need to be as qualified and as skilled now to do this job.
I guess
we've made it that much easier.
They're not on the other side of the water that send our trailers across, are they?
Well, they're not, because
it's been like that.
That they're working with.
Yeah, it's been like that forever as well. Because I mean, when I first started out in haulage at age 16, I was in a traffic office in Felixstowe doing unaccompanied trailers. And the amount of times it come in loaded the wrong way and
Mason would be so proud of you calling them unaccompanied trailers. I even said it earlier.
I know.
They're ferry trailers, aren't they? We all know that.
They are ferry trailers.
As coming back to front, upside down, you know, that you've got... Oh, it's ridiculous.
You just think, how do you manage it when we can manage to load it correctly this end and send it out and you can't do it...
Mm.
The mind boggles. It really does.
Deeper's not always better.
Well, that's true. But then even over 20 years ago, it was a very different marketplace. They were still getting it wrong. So, Alex, have we persuaded you that, curtain siders should be banned?
I've been sort of swayed, right?
Yeah.
I've been sort of swayed to the argument. I get what you're saying, and I do agree.
Yeah.
I still think there's a need for them.
Fair enough.
And I still think it makes my life a damn sight easier than opening and shooting a trailer up.
Yeah.
But your life could be even easier if you were just doing it on a box trailer.
That's it.
yeah, it would. But then I quite like the exercise of stripping the boards out and stuff, to be honest. Like my missus, like, she says to me, oh, you sit there and drive, and I like this. I said,
you can use the pallet trucks.
Yeah, there is that. But then I said to her, says, do you know what, right, Paula? I said, stripping out, opening a Euroliner up, taking all the boards out, straps off, it's like a 15-minute workout. It's like doing an aerobics exercise, reaching up, lifting the boards, putting them down, up, stretch, down.
You should see this
up,
trailer I've got.
Down.
Yeah, well Luke messaged me about this, so you just tell him roughly.
Yeah, you're in the seventh circle of hell with these things. These are their biggest contract is Michelin. So are designed for taking tyres. So your tilt boards that you're used to, they're twice the size, and you've got 48 of them.
48?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
There's nowhere to store them on the trailer. You have to take them all out and put them all back in. So that's lush, that is, when you're trying to get 4 metres up to put these top boards in.
Yeah.
And if you have to tip through or load through the site, minimum 3 hours, and that's if it all goes smoothly.
No, we'll be banning them. We'll be banning them. They're on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go then.
Yeah, they're on the list. They can go.
So I'm quite lucky. I know that I'm tipping on a bay tomorrow, and I know I'm reloading on a bay.
Mm.
But sometimes I might be going somewhere, and I don't know the next place I'm loading from. So I might have just tipped through the side, and I think, right, well, I could just leave them all on the bed of the trailer.
Yeah.
Because when I reload, and then you turn up and they say, what's a loading bay? And you think, I've got to put it all back in, but you didn't know that beforehand. Hell. I said to Matt, because my luck will run out this week and I will have to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, send some photos through your site. We can put on the Facebook page.
That's exactly what
I said to Matt, exactly
what you said he will. So,
and if he puts a video of us taking them out and putting them back in just for research purposes.
Bloody hell, well, I'll have to do it as a time lapse because it'll be a long video.
I was going to say.
You'll have to get the beat machine in the ready, Matt.
I can do that. It's not a problem.
Yeah. He does it with me enough, don't you?
Yeah.
These tyres, obviously, this goes into Michelin and it goes straight onto a loading bay. So box trailer, fridge trailer work.
Hmm.
Yeah,
the reason they've got curtain sides is because it's the UK.
Mm.
And even though they might be going to load pallets next, they might just be insistent, well, no, it has to go through the side. We're not going to load a fridge or a box. And you go, well, we need to get this trailer back down to Spain.
Hmm. Yeah.
So their hands are tied. They have to run curtain sides.
Because of the UK market.
Because of the customers in the UK. It suits them more to put it in a curtain. And poor Muggins here has got a suffer one.
Well, like Alex said, it's a good workout if nothing else, especially in the summer heat.
Yeah,
yeah, you won't need that Manjaro anymore. If he's got
no,
this place today. Yeah, you'll be able to have a pizza every night on this work.
Yeah, I will, but yeah, a couple of bites of the pizza while I'm stripping my boards out.
Absolutely. Right, gents, well, I think I've taken up enough of both of your time. I really enjoyed it. I thought everyone raised some pretty good points and valid points. And like I say...
Are we going to take a vote? Are we banning them?
Democracy. I'll tell you what, we'll take a vote. There's three of us, right? So, are we banning them?
Yes.
Okay, I'm with you guys.
There we go.
Hey.
Democracy in action.
He seems
to... Yeah, there you go. You convinced me. They can go.
Now, I'll tell you what, when this episode goes out, I'm definitely expecting a backlash on social media because I remember just putting a comment somewhere about curtain sides should be banned, a bit lighthearted, and someone got so offended and they're like, well, what about a load of bricks? And just thought, we put them on a flatbed.
Exactly.
I'm looking at one there. It's the drop side one. It's right there.
Yeah. So I am, because again, when I raise a situation on the CB app, there was an awful lot of backlash and people just would not see my side of it and saying, well, you know, just think about this. But they were just constantly thinking about the customer, you know, rather than the driver. But anyway, we've now decided what we're going to have to start is a petition You know, so is it 10,000 votes you need to get for Parliament? And you know,
yeah, we'll, easy.
We'll get
I've got several email addresses.
we'll get this off the ground. We're going to flip transport in Europe on its head. I'm telling you now.
Yeah. Well, I think transport in Europe's already on that page, aren't they? It just does.
It is. Yeah, very true. So
it just does in this country. We drive on the wrong side. We use the wrong couplings on the trailer, and now we've got the wrong trailers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So anyway, gents, we shall finish this chat. I think it's been great fun, and thank you very much for joining me.
Pleasure.
And before I go, just a quick thank you to all of our sponsors and anyone who's donated through Buy Me a Coffee or Patreon. It's all really greatly received to help run the podcast. So if you can afford to give anything, please do. So, gents, Luke, thank you very much and have a good evening.
Yeah, you too, Matt. Thank you.
And Alex, enjoy the egg whites and your night at home.
Yeah, I will do the egg whites. I've not finished that. I'm going to have to stop eating that.
I'm not surprised.
Anyway, I'm not winning anybody over.
Anyway, you two enjoy your evening and we'll speak again very soon.
See you later. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Cheers, bye-bye. Guys. Ta-da. Bye.
See you later.